This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's call Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, joining us now on the Shiner Orange Hotline. And, Paul, last night there was not a whole lot, as far as team goes, to be impressed with. I still like the fact that Summers is flying all over the field. I like the fact that I think that there's a good crop of wide receivers that are in place. I think Tanyan had a decent night. I look at some of the numbers and think, okay, you know, things weren't terrible, but you didn't see anybody separate themselves in the backup quarterback position. Aaron Rodgers with a stiff back. You still had Rashawn Gary kind of a no-show. So it was there's probably more negative than there is positive coming out of last night. Would you agree?
Yeah, there definitely was. It was one of those, like, is it the regular season yet type of preseason games.
Right.
It just was ugly. I mean, and so, like, last week, Bill, we talked a little bit about the tackling. And I downplayed it because I said it's preseason. They don't practice tackling. That sometimes takes time. But Matt LaFleur was intent on addressing it during this week leading into this game. And you could have fooled me that it was worked on, you know. So it's fine for now. I don't want anyone to get, you know, too overworked about it. But you don't want it to become a trend. And you don't want to enter week one of the regular season, which is now like 20 days away, and start saying, like, you know, start feeling like this is a team that can tackle. Because it's one thing for, you know, people like us and fans to talk about it. It's another if it starts to creep into the minds of players, like, why can't we tackle? And I think that's concerning. You know, you mentioned Summers flying around, and he was somebody who I thought really flashed in week one. And while you can still see his game speed in action last night, he missed a lot of tackles. And that really wasn't a thing that he did last week when he had, what, 10, 11 tackles in week one of the preseason.
Right.
So, but in his absence, it's like every week there's a young inside linebacker making their case, and last night it was Bolton, who to me a little bit was a surprise start. I mean, I know he was getting some snaps with the ones in practice during Oren Burks' absence, but another guy who's, you know, probably has made more of a case now, obviously, than Summers to get those Oren Burks reps, and of course we still wait to see what the outcome is there. I continue to be fascinated by this wide receiver depth chart, Bill. I mean, we know 1 through 4, we know Adams is making it, obviously. We know Valdez-Scantling, we know Geronimo Allison, and we all agree, and I'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who would tell me Jake Kumerow's not on the fifth, you know, not one of the wide receivers. But behind them, I mean, the more you see Darius Shepherd, and the more that Trevor Davis sits out with an injury, the more I think those two are going to flip-flop on the depth chart because of what Shepherd can do on special teams is a lot of what Davis can do on special teams. You mentioned the backup quarterbacks. We can dive into this more in depth, all these different topics. But backup QB, it remains a thing for me where it's like, you know, another chance with the starting offense, pretty much everybody in there from a starting perspective except the quarterback. And, you know, Kizer once again, and on opening drive particularly, has a throw, a big throw, a momentum type of throw early in a game and botched it terribly. So, you know, I think there's a lot of bad last night and probably only a couple minor flashes of good.
Wanted to ask you, offensively speaking, I had said if Aaron Rodgers does not participate the entire preseason, would it bother you? It would bother me. Would it bother you?
It would bother me. And I mean, and I think last night really truly was like an injury exception. I mean, it was pretty well stated that he was going to play last night. He's made it very clear that he wants to play in Canada for the upcoming preseason game. So, I mean, unless the back tightness continues for another week, it would seem that he will play, or at least that the intent is for him to play. But, yeah, man, if we're talking 3 weeks from now and Rodgers didn't take a single preseason snap, I would say, one, it wouldn't be because LaFleur wanted it that way. I think LaFleur wanted Rodgers to take more. I mean, Rodgers would have played a quarter last night if LaFleur had his way, and that was the expectation going in. So now it's like, okay, yes, it was precautionary last night with back tightness, but if that precaution exists a week from now in Canada, you know, then it, for me, it moves out of a precaution list and more into like a when is this guy going to get some snaps in with his new offensive play calling head coach? So it would bother me, but again, I think we should be clear. Like, whereas in past years, McCarthy purposely only had Rodgers play one series all preseason. If not for the back tightness last night, Rodgers was going to play a lot, and injury just prevented that from being possible.
What do you think of Rashawn Gary? Now, I didn't get a chance to specifically pay attention to him a lot last night, but from reading the tweets and the people that were dissatisfied, has he flashed anything to you that would say, there's your first-round draft choice?
No. No. It's not yet translated into preseason action. I think if you were to, we always want the first-round picks, for good reason, to be guys that flash early on. And I think there's a couple things to hit on with that. One, Rashawn Gary always looked the part in college, in high school, being the top recruit coming out of high school. And, you look at that size and speed combination, and then why did he have 3.5 sacks at Michigan? Maybe it just doesn't translate. But then what Michigan wanted you to believe was that he was doing things that aren't box score things. He was blowing up plays. He was getting to quarterbacks. He was forcing hurries and pressures and all of these things, which, is a very underrated part that I think most average fans look to. They want sacks and tackles, and Rashawn Gary wasn't a sacks and tackles guy in college. He was a pressures and hurries guy and taking up double, sometimes triple teams guy, and that's not box score stuff. But the problem is, Bill, it's two preseason games. It's his first NFL action. We have to take all of this with a very thin grain of salt and not make too big of a deal of it. But that's what's happening right now. It's a big, strong, fast, amazingly athletic dude who just isn't yet flashing in a preseason game. What I want to caveat with that too, though, is that, ahead of him on the depth chart are Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, and probably for now, Kyler Fackrell. So it's not like he needs to step in. Whereas, like, Darnell Savage, he's got to play, every snap. If this is week one, Savage is probably playing 90, 95, 100% of the snaps, much like Clinton Dix did in previous years, where he just never left the field, like Morgan Burnett would. Just never leave the field. That's what safeties do. Rashawn Gary's probably looking at a season, pending injury to guys ahead of him, as, a 30%-ish percent of snaps type of guy. So there's time for him to develop, which is why, you didn't just draft him in the first round and say, go start every play. They have the Smiths ahead of him and probably Fackrell as well for the time being to not put him in too big of a spot. But, sooner or later, man, this guy's got to show what he shows in practice and show what he shows, in combine situations and let it translate to actual results on the field.
Statistically, the Packers' defense didn't do terrible last night. They got off the field on 33% of the third downs, 5 of 15. They were able to shut the Ravens down, although on fourth down the Ravens were 2 for 2. But it still wasn't a solid defensive performance. I think this is one of those cases where you look at the stats and go, it's a little misleading. In the meantime, boy, their defense got off the field. The Packers were only 3 of 12 last night, could not convert a fourth down either, and only came up with a total of 226 total yards. As much as I want to look at the defense of the Packers and go, it's preseason. Look, the last 2 weeks we've seen the Texans, they've made tackles. We've seen the Ravens, they've made tackles. I don't know what it is about the ability or the will or the preach of the will or the heart of the will to tackle in Green Bay, but we talk about this almost year in and year out, the arm tackles or the lack of tackling and the missed opportunities. It just makes you want to pull your hair out, doesn't it?
Yeah, the diving at the feet of tacklers or of ball carriers, I'll draw the comparison to this. A lot of people, when the Packers couldn't tackle in the Dom Capers era, the most commentary I heard, Bill, I don't know if you would line it up or if you would have a differing opinion, the most that I heard was if he would just coach from the sideline and if he wasn't this, 70-year-old guy and he doesn't have the fire and he doesn't have whatever and he's not motivating his players. Petten is the anti-Capers from personality and an in-your-face perspective and from a motivational perspective. Capers was up there playing chess. That's what he was great at. He just moved the pieces around, and there was a time where he was the best defensive mind in football. Petten just has a much different mentality, and the fact that, again, two preseason games, they're not practicing tackling, but the fact that, under a new defensive coordinator, this might still remain an issue is going to, and probably putting it kindly, irritate a lot of Packers fans. And it should. I think it's just one of those things where why are the Texans doing it? Why are the Ravens able to do it despite the, you know, they're all following the same collective bargaining agreement. They're all following the same principles of,
right,
you know, what the NFL in its new era is doing. And yeah, I mean, it is absolutely something that, whether it's, you know, coming from the head coach being the floor, whether it's coming from Pettine, the D coordinator, these defensive coaches, I mean, because it's ultimately going to come down to Pettine and, of course, then LaFleur and, you know, all of everything else, because they're the head honchos of the team. But this is a defensive coaches thing. This is going to have to be a week where the defensive coaches who are on the practice field with these guys, drilling with these guys, are just going to have to figure out a way to do it. I don't know. You know, it's like you tackle with these tackling dummies and with these donuts, and it's, you know, in practice, in theory, you think these guys, these coaches seem to think that'll be fine, right? Because that way they're not hurting each other and hurting themselves, and it's still the same basic idea. And, you know, it's not. It's just not the same thing. So, I would, Bill, honestly, if I was to circle, like, the one thing this week to get ready for the Packers, it's to watch and see the approach that the defensive coaching staff, the guys, the linebackers coach, the corners coach, the safety, like, what are these guys? How are they going to emphasize it in practice? How are they going to approach it? And can you see at least some marked level of improvement between the last two games and the last two preseason games? Because for me, like, yeah, there's, I mean, backup quarterback is a problem. There's a fun conversation about wide receiver depth chart. You know, is it Lane Taylor or is it Elton Jenkins at left guard? You know, is Rashawn Gary? But there's all these things. It's like, for me, the improvement that needs to come the soonest is from this defensive coaching staff to get these guys to tackle in short order, because this regular season is coming up more quickly than it would seem that they're ready for.
Paul, always good stuff. We will chat again next week. Enjoy your weekend, okay?
You too. Thanks so much, Bill.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they'll be getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.